Thank you. Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary pro tem, Nancy Sibaratomi, will call the roll now, please.
Okay. Ken Aaron? Ken Aaron absent. Fred Blair?
Present.
Fred Blair present. Okay. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Lydia present. Okay. Michael Novick?
Present.
Michael Novick present. Yvonne Alchemy, absent. Okay. Reverend Gold?
Present.
Reverend Gold present. Thomas Porter absent. Jane Gatewood absent. Nia Bediako absent. Carolyn Bearden absent. Bob Lederer?
Here.
Bob Lederer present. Okay. Manajay Saba absent. Anthony Fest?
Here.
Anthony Fest present. Sasha Futran?
Here.
Sasha Futran present. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg present. Andrea Turner absent. Teresa Allen absent. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Wesley Bethune present. Nancy Cyber and I told me present. Okay, we have made quorum.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. All right, so we have a... I sent out a draft agenda. I'll read it, and then we can discuss it. Following the call to order and the agenda approval, the items are, number one, review and approval of available minutes for 5 minutes, two, decision on next committee meeting date for 10 minutes, and three, report from National Election Supervisor, plus questions and answers and discussion, which I put for 90 minutes because there's so many topics to cover. And just a few that I'm aware of, and I'm sure all of you can add to this list, and of course Terry Barishas will add when he's going to come on momentarily. And the ones I have are plans for public observation of tabulations, the question of staff ballots by PDF, remaining cases of voters who have not received ballots, determinations of extensions, who is covered and not covered, the length of extensions, and the relationship with the timing of seating the new LSBs. And then, so those are all under item three, and then the final item four would be suggestions for process to evaluate the 2012 elections sometime early next year. That's a suggestion. That's a proposal I have for 10 minutes, and with a goal to adjourn by 10:15 p.m. Eastern. So the floor is open for additions or changes.
Nancy on the stack?
Yes, go ahead, Nancy.
Could I put an F on number 3F and discussion of KPFT election?
Sure, discussion of KPFT election. Okay.
Bob?
Yes.
Yes, so what is the total amount of time?
Let me add up the numbers here. Let's see, 90, 100, 105 minutes, so 115 minutes. So it's just short of 2 hours. So that would be, if we stick to these times, we would actually adjourn at 10 rather than 10:15, but I put 10:15 for a little cushion.
So okay, this is Revelin. Okay,
yeah.
It's about 5 minutes of nine now, and if we do 2 hours, that will be 11:15. Am I wrong?
Oh, my God. My math is worse than I thought it was. Thank you for correcting
me. It's almost eight. Yeah, it's almost
okay,
eight.
Well, then we need to chop this time for the report and discussion with the NES. So,
Bob?
Yes?
May I recommend that we chop the discussion of the next date and provide it by email? That saves us 10 minutes.
Well,
and that always just seems to be such a circular discussion.
I respectfully disagree because I've found on various committees...
Or at least put it at the end. I mean...
Well, we can move it to the end, but I found it's easier when you have everyone on one call than, you know, you try to get people to respond on email and there's different differences. It's very hard to settle that way. But, okay, so is there any objection to moving the next meeting date to the end of the meeting? Okay, hearing none, then that's moved. Okay, any other changes?
Sasha here?
Yes.
I don't know how to go about this. I don't know what Terry is going to say in his report, but I have some concern about the KPFA certification date and also whether also Terry's acceptance of late ballots.
Yeah, the late ballot question is already considered under determinations of extensions, who is covered and not covered.
Okay.
So that topic's included. As far as the KPFA certification, we can make that a separate sub-item under his report.
Or at least if he would be good enough to mention it in the course of his report, what it looks like.
Sure, you can ask him that. Terry, are you back on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Did you hear what Sasha requested?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can just incorporate that?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what she wants to know, but I'll say something.
Okay, great. All right, any other changes, additions? Okay. All right. So is there any objection to adopting this agenda as amended? Okay. Hearing none, it's adopted, and I need a timekeeper for this meeting. Can I ask someone to volunteer, please?
Anthony
did a good job.
Anthony? Thank you very much, Anthony. Okay. Do you have
everybody pick one step back.
Right. Do you have the agenda in front of you, or should I announce the times?
Let me see.
No problem.
I do have it in front of me.
Okay.
Let me go and grab my kitchen timer.
Sure. Okay, well, while he's doing that, let's just discuss the minutes for a real quick second. Nancy was kind enough to submit some minutes just a little earlier tonight. I, for one, have not had time to more than just glance at them. And I would appreciate the chance to, you know, really look at it in more detail. So would there be any objection, or does someone have another idea than to just postpone them to the next meeting?
Oh, I second that.
Okay.
I mean, I propose that, yes.
Okay, well, hearing no objection, then that item is postponed till next time. All right. Anthony, are you back?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the clock starts now. Oh, actually, no, we had to. I forgot that we need to reduce this 90 minutes. All right, why don't we say 40 minutes to start on the report and on the Q&A and discussion, okay? And then we'll see where we're at if we need to extend, okay? All right, so Terry, take it away.
Okay. All right, I'll just take them in the order that you have them here. Plans for public observation. It's a little bit of a misnomer to refer to it as a tabulation even, but the observation of the opening of the envelopes, the scanning of the ballots, the reviewing of any problem ballots where voter intent might need to be determined, that happens at a hotel room that's rented by ESC. There were, I guess, just two observers at the last process where we did it for KPFA, and people are welcome to observe. It might be vaguely interesting for a couple of minutes and then exceedingly boring, in my opinion. But Bob has suggested that it might be nice to, and ESC has the facility to do this, to actually project the scanned images onto a large screen so everybody can see them and say, oh, wait, that one looks like it has a problem because the voter, that kind of thing. So I'm not particularly eager to do that, but I have no objection to doing it. And if ESC says they can do it at no additional charge and conveniently, then I think we could do that. But the key thing is for the observation part is we want to know who's going to be attending so that ESC knows both how many people to know what size room to rent, but also so we just want ESC to be able to control the room. Frank Fatone, who's the head of it, is my deputy, as it were, on site. And he likes to know who's there So if somebody is, you know, disruptive or something like that, it's just not just some anonymous person. He's going to have them sign in so he knows who's there. So we need to know if people are going to want to observe, we need to know ahead of time. And also that way we can also coordinate getting people there, like if they take the train to the Ronkonkoma train station, ESC will arrange to pick you up at the station and bring you to the hotel so you don't have to get a cab or anything. So that's just a report. It's the same as last time. I sent out an email last time, and there weren't a lot of people interested in observing. But since there's more stations this time, there might be more people. I don't know.
Terry, can I suggest, since there's so many different topics, why don't we open the floor after each topic before people lose the train of thought? Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this topic? Okay.
Bob?
Yes.
This is Lydia. I don't know how other people feel, I would prefer just hearing Terry give us his whole report, and then if you pause each time waiting for comments, it's going to just eat up more dead air time. So can you just have, I don't know, how, again, let's hear from other people, but I'd prefer hearing his whole report. We pretty much know the questions we have burning at our individual stations, so that way, you know, if he covers them, we don't have to ask them.
All right. Any
and
other opinions?
Take notes, but it's
okay.
Pausing time can take forever.
Okay. Any other opinions on how to do this?
I prefer that approach because it's possible a question somebody might ask might be answered somewhere else in my report. Plus, sometimes people have questions which are just sort of curiosities that aren't really crucial, and by the time we get later on, they'll realize they didn't really need to know.
Okay. I think that those are all very good points. So if there's no objection, then I'll let you go ahead and do the whole report.
Then the next thing I'll say about a little bit about KPFA. This may not be the order that you had them added here.
That's
but,
okay.
The first round of KPFA ballots were scanned. I have the ballot images and the data strings of rankings, and I've been doing the audit. I actually did discover a couple of errors, which I brought to their attention. They're rerunning one piece of it. They have a quality check thing they do, and they discovered that there was one piece of it that had not been run. There is one ballot where I found somebody ranked like seven candidates, and then there's one candidate ranked an 18th position, 18th ranking, and it was because there was the way the ballot was folded, the crease did end up making enough of a shadow for the scanner software to think that was a mark. It wouldn't obviously affect the election at all, being an 18th rank with a big gap, but somebody needs to mute. Somebody has a phone that keeps hearing background noise.
Okay, I'm going to say it in a loud voice, okay? Everybody mute your phones. Mute. Thank you.
Okay. People are trying.
Hearing impaired.
Okay. Saturday Night Live skit. Okay. All right. Then we have the audit is ongoing. It's not completed because I found a couple of things that I brought to their attention that I wanted them to fix. But basically, I'm very impressed with the quality of their scan process. It's a much higher quality than any governmental election. In a government election, if there's a stray mark in a oval on an optical scan machine, it will say it's a spoiled ballot because there's two votes for this candidate or something like that. They actually have a system where they actually have human beings glancing at the ballot images. So, like, when somebody crosses out something and writes "omit," I did not mean to vote here. There's a human being that will actually detect that, and we can make that kind of correction on the fly. And that never happens in government elections, except during a recount or something. So, I think that the quality of the vote tally is going to be better than any government election. As for the certification process, we're going to talk in a few moments about the late ballots, the ballots that were mailed out late, and the process for that. And at KPFA, I've set the 18th, the day after tomorrow, as a deadline by which we have to have any ballots that were mailed late also have to be in, because we have to have a cutoff at some point. And so that will allow me to have the final set of – so in other words, when they do the scans for WPFW and KPFT, they'll also scan any remaining ballots for KPFA. We'll add those to the same data fields files, and then I'll do my final audit. And after they've completed their quality assurance and run Choice Plus Pro, I expect I'll be able to certify the results within a day or two after the final scan. So my target is to do the certification by the 20th of December for KPFA only. The auditing for, since I've done a lot of the audit process already for KPFA, for KPFT and WPFW, I haven't had a chance obviously to begin the audit because I don't have any data to look at yet. So those probably will be not certified until after the 20th. It might be as soon as the 21st, but it's hard to commit exactly when that will be done. Let's see. Then we have the issue of remaining cases of votes who have not received ballots is on this. Oh, no, let me go back up. Staff PDF ballots. I think everybody on this call probably is aware of the problem that was discovered at KPFK, where one entire subclass of voters were not apparently on the voter list and were not therefore mailed ballots, which is the paid staff at KPFK. It'll be very interesting to find out exactly how that happened, not just for pointing fingers or maybe punishing somebody, but for future, because it's such a glaring, horrible error. It really deserves to be figured out exactly how it happened. But because it was so late to mail ballots and wait for people to mail them back, it would be really hard to do it even by the week after the closed date that we're searching for. So at Election Services Corporation's suggestion, they said, well, do you want us to email PDF ballots to them? And the bylaws specifically allow us, the foundation, to postal mail or email ballots to the email address of record. In other words, we had to already have an email address that had been verified in some fashion by the foundation, by the station. Since we did have email addresses for the staff, I said, go ahead and email the PDF ballots to that class of voters who had been missed. And then it was brought to my attention, well, yeah, but there are also some unpaid staff who there were no postal addresses for who didn't get mailed ballots. So I asked ESC to also email PDF ballots to the unpaid staff that we could identify at KPFK. And at this point, it was only KPFK because of they had by far the most number of voters within a particular class being staff for whom they had no ballots because we didn't have mailing addresses for them. This is something, this whole provision of sending out PDF ballots is something that is not contracted for. ESC is doing it sort of, I don't want to say pro bono, but they're doing this extra labor. And these are very labor-intensive because they have to prepare each email individually with a ballot with a unique PIN to an individual email. It's not a bulk mass email where they just send them out. It's rather time-consuming. And at some point, they may simply say, you know, you didn't contract for this, and you're really asking for way more than we can do with the size labor force we have. And they may say, I'm sorry, we're not going to do this anymore. I don't know. But at this point, they have emailed the paid staff at KPFK. They have been requested to email. This was on like Friday or Saturday, the request to do it to the unpaid staff. And we've been asking them to also email PDFs to staff for whom the station provides us with an email address at other stations if somebody requests a ballot because it's so late. Now, we're not allowing individuals to say, I didn't get a ballot, here's my email address, send me a ballot. In other words, we need to have it a email address of record. We need some verification, some vetting by the station. Otherwise, it opens the door to vote fraud, where someone just opens up a Hotmail or Gmail account and starts asking for ballots, opens a whole bunch of email addresses and asks for ballots. So it has to be an email address that the station has verified. So at this point, that's primarily been we've gotten a few requests, and it's not a large number because most of the staff have received ballots by mail. So KPFK was the one where it was a serious problem. Most of the other stations, most of the staff received their ballots. We've gotten a few requests at WBAI. We may have gotten one or two elsewhere, but it's mainly been some staff at BAI and KPFK. Let's see. Next thing was remaining cases of voters who have not received ballots. In every election, there we know that the Pacifica records are very incomplete. There are always going to be members that have no address of record or whose address of record has changed from what their actual address has changed from their address of record and aren't getting ballots. We're still getting requests, but we are at the point where we need to say, sorry, it's simply too late because we have to, you know, tally the results. And if we're going to give them reasonable time to return ballots, at some point we have to stop sending them out. Otherwise, the reasonable amount of time will keep pushing back the final tally later and later and later into January and so on. So my intention at this point is to not accept any more requests for late ballots. We're done with that. And any ballots that have already been requested and are still in process, if we can still verify, like if it's a staff person, if we can verify the email address or a listener and we can verify that they're eligible, we can still send out replacement ballots that are already in the hopper, as you were. But my intention is to not take any additional requests because the elections are essentially, from the voters' angle, done. We're past the close date that was originally set, and we're at the close date of the extension. And even if we were to mail them a ballot, there's no way they could even receive it, let alone get it back before the close date. Then the next thing on the agenda is determination of extensions, who is covered, who is not covered. Again, I won't repeat everything that I've said in some of the emails. I think probably everybody on this call understands the issue. I did a liberal interpretation of the bylaw provision that requires us to give voters reasonable time in which to receive and return their ballot. And my original intent was to say that if they were mailed a ballot at the beginning of the process and they received that ballot, they had reasonable time. If they mailed it too late to come back, that is, if you will, not the foundation's fault. It might be the foundation may have contributed by doing getting candidate forms late, et cetera, et cetera. There are all kinds of reasons, slow mail from the West Coast to the East Coast that people may not be familiar with, or Hurricane Sandy or whatever. But those kinds of contingencies are not something that makes it so that they did not have reasonable time to return their ballot if they received their ballot in early or mid-November. So I've used the cutoff date as of November 27th. If they were mailed a ballot on or after November 27th, then I thought that we should extend their return date. And these dates I'm using are the ones that I had for KPFA. For the other stations that had extensions, it would be if they were mailed a ballot, I think I used the date on or after December 4th. They would be considered to have reasonable time. We need to give them till basically December 26th, about a week after the actual close date for those late mailed ballots. And the issue was, if we go to the P.O. box and we find we have two ballots from KPFA on Tuesday when we go, and one was a late mailed ballot and one was mailed on November 6th, and they're both sitting in the P.O. box, and we can tell which is which by the PIN number. We know this ballot was mailed to the voter recently, and this other ballot was mailed to that voter a long time ago. Should we only count the ballot that was mailed late to the voter and not count the ballot that the voter had enough time, whether they did it well or not, they did have reasonable time to get it back in? And I had ruled that we had to, according to my reading of the bylaws, not count the ballot that was sent and received, you know, in early, mid-November. I then sent out that email saying, do people really want me to do this? Because that's what I think the bylaws suggest. And if I was the only person who felt that that was the best thing to do or the right thing to do, I was open to persuasion that I could interpret the bylaws even more broadly. And I asked if people had, if anybody had an objection. I have heard objection from a number of people saying, no, we do not want you to try and accept ballots after the close date from people who were mailed their ballot and probably received their ballot in earlier mid-November. And since I have, if I had only one or two people saying that, then I would go back to my original interpretation of the bylaws. I don't think I have the discretion, and if there's somebody who could possibly go to court and say you don't have that authority, and I personally don't think I have that authority, therefore I'm not going to assert that I do, to accept a ballot that was mailed on time, person had reasonable time, and they simply mailed it back too late. We can't count it because the bylaws don't give me that discretion. And so that's my decision. The last thing on this, oh no, there are two other things. E, length of extensions in relationship with timing of seating of the new local station board. There are at least three or four provisions in the bylaws that require the delegates, the election be completed in December, that they, the term of office is starts in December, and there's an argument to be made that if they aren't seated in December, there's an argument to be made that they can't be seated, that they're not legally elected if they're not elected, if they're not certified by December. Some have suggested, well, but that provision about the existing board members serving on only is in the section of the bylaws that talks about if there's no quorum by the extended close date that those board members serve on. And that may be true, but as I said, there's three or four other provisions in the bylaws that require any modification of the election schedule be done in such a way that the election can be completed and the new members certified by December. So I am interpreting the bylaws to be that I do not have the discretion to extend the close date into the next year. The bylaws do say I can do it for up to 4 weeks, but that was under the, that section of the bylaws assumes that that 4 weeks would end in October because the whole process is so late. And I know that there's people can argue this point, and I know I've had several calls with Bob Lederer about this, but I don't want to personally be sued because I extended an election beyond what the bylaws allow, so I'm not going to do that, and that's my final decision on that. And I'm not open to further discussion. I mean, I'm open to further discussion. I'm not going to change my mind because I've really thought about it very thoroughly. And the last thing, somebody wanted to add F, which I guess was KPFT election. And I'll just say a couple things about that, and then I'll be done. Several staff were sanctioned for not airing carts when they were supposed to. EO and I had a conversation, several conversations with the general manager, and we directed him to put a negative evaluation comment into the personnel file for the program director. And a variety of remedial airing of CART's special program with candidates who were underrepresented by the actual airing of CARTs that went on at KPFT were done, and I'm still waiting to hear the final assessment about whether EO now feels, she's the local election supervisor, feels that, though not perfect, if essentially we've achieved the level of fairness required to certify the election. And I haven't heard the final word on that final assessment. At KPFT, it is different than any other station because the carts are actually a relatively small part of the total voter education package compared to all the other stations, because there were individual, like, 15-minute interviews with each of the candidates on air. There were YouTube videos that were done with all the candidates, and those were posted on the website. There were a whole lot of things that were not done at any of the other stations. So while the cart airing was done improperly and unfairly, and management has been sanctioned, and staff, at least a couple staff were pulled off the air for some amount of time, my sense is that sufficient remedy has been done, but I don't have this officially yet. There hasn't been an actual ruling that we would not refuse to certify the election on those grounds. There might be other grounds that I'm not aware of, but that's basically where we are at KPFT, but I'm still waiting for a final assessment from the local election supervisor. I guess that's it for my report.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, actually, one last thing from my report
yes.
Is I still have not been paid for my work in November. I keep getting, as I did in October and in September, I kept getting encouraging emails or phone calls saying, yes, we're going to pay you. I'm going to pay you really soon. I just have to get this. And it's been that way every month. And except for the first paycheck was fine. But since then, it's been a problem. And I am working sort of just crossing my fingers that all my work last month and all my work this month, which I've already worked more hours this month than I worked all of November, just crossing my fingers and hoping I get paid, because there's enough goodwill amongst the members of this committee and members of the PNB who will do what they need to do to make sure that I get paid. I'm just sort of trusting the rest of you, because quite frankly, I don't have good grounds for having a lot of trust in certain other people. So I'm going to run for it.
Well, thank you very much for that, and you just answered the first question I was going to ask you. I'll just personally say on my own behalf, I think it's appalling that you haven't been paid even remotely as per your contract on time, especially in the wake of your willingness to cut your salary in half, so which I think is laudable, and I really appreciate your spirit of sacrifice and commitment and hard work, and I really hope Pacifica Management is going to, you know, change their treatment of you to be what the standard that we all call for in the outside world needs to be practiced at home. All right, the floor is open, but I think it might be more organized if, instead of just going on whatever topic each person wants, if we go back through the topics and just see if there's any, you know, is there anything on A, B, et cetera. So, any issues on A?
Yes.
Okay. Who's that?
Tracy for the SAC, please.
Okay.
I have a question about that, but I actually have some other questions.
Is that Sasha?
Yes. Can you hear me?
But I heard Tracy first. So let's hear Tracy and then Sasha. Tracy?
No, it's okay. You can let Sasha go ahead.
All right. Go ahead.
Please, go ahead.
Well, one of you should speak.
Okay, Tracy, somebody, Sasha. Okay, Sasha, go ahead. Where's Tracy?
Tracy, you get to have the last word as usual. I have a question about A, but I have a couple of more general questions that have nothing to do with a specific station.
That's fine. Go ahead with the general stuff.
Okay. So I was wondering what the quorum looked like for the other four stations at this point. And also, in particular, I asked that also in particular in regard to one of the things that you said about still getting requests but not mailing out any more ballots, replacement ballots or ballots at this point. And I sort of asked that, you know, in regard to what the quorum looks like, do you think that's safe to do that with a quorum? And then the other general question was, you said that in the past you've gotten encouraging phone calls about being paid anytime soon, and I'm wondering if that is true in this case as well. Are you at this point getting encouraging words about being paid at any moment? and then I'll go on to my question about A after that.
I got a phone call on my answering machine the other day and an email about 3 or 4 days ago, both from Summer, saying that she was still struggling with the national accounts, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand the details. In fact, she actually said some of the details which I just don't want to go into. It sounds like there's issues going on at the national office, that some of which may simply be beyond her control, some of which I don't know. But all I know is she, unlike that one particular email, which I think people are aware of, where she said, if you want to quit, don't let me stand in your way, she has not repeated that tone. She's been very, you know, positive in the last couple of communications. But that's after a month of virtually no communication whatsoever from her.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And about the quorums, and then I'll go on to my other question.
We're doing another ballot count tomorrow. Envelope. I mean, they're going to go to the P.O. box and look again at how many. We know we have quorum for KPFA. We know we have quorum for WPFW. And WBAI was reasonably close. There's a good chance that they'll make it. If they don't, my intention at this point is to simply leave the election open, keep checking the P.O. box. As soon as we find that we have a quorum, close it that day. In other words, rather than the traditional way I think it's been done in most years, where they simply set another date, because we're coming up against this wire deadline that I believe exists of trying to get the election certified in December, if I can close the election on December 19th, because we didn't have a quorum on the 18th, but we have a quorum on the 19th, I'm going to close it on the 19th. That's my intent right now. And so I want to close the sending out of replacement ballots, because if I've already extended the effective receipt date for up to a week beyond the close date because of late mailed ballots, at some point we have to stop sending out replacement ballots, or there's no way, it will be physically impossible to certify the election in December, which I believe is also a bylaws requirement. So I have competing bylaws considerations, and it's a balancing act. And my notion is we're now past the date by which everybody was notified on the website, on air, et cetera, that they had to have their ballot back. If they haven't requested the ballot for like a week after they were told they had to have already had it back, I think that the foundation has definitely done a reasonable effort to distribute a ballot to every member, which is what the bylaws say. Doesn't say we have to actually distribute it to every member, which is physically impossible, obviously. You know, somebody in Peru with no address or whatever. We have to make simply a reasonable effort to distribute a ballot to every member, and I think that's been done.
Okay, thank you. And I'm glad to hear that things have been pleasanter, and it looks like the intent is to pay you. So about KPFA, I'm a little confused about what you said in your report. So as I understand it, as of the 18th, you will be accepting any replacement ballots that came in, but you will not be accepting other ballots that came in.
Right, we're going to use the PIN numbers on the ballot.
Was the cutoff date, that's where I got confused, for they have to be mailed by what date?
Okay. If a ballot was mailed to a member, we're talking about KPFA only at this point, to a member on or after November 27th, and it gets to the P.O. box by the 18th, we'll count it. If it was mailed to the member before November 27th, and it arrives in the P.O. box between the close date, which was December 11th, and December 18th, it's simply too late because the member had reasonable time in which to return their ballot, and they simply failed to do it. And the bylaws, my reading of the bylaws is that I don't really have the discretion to count a ballot where the member both had reasonable time and they didn't get it in on time. But of course,
and what about ballots that are not replacement ballots? They are just late ballots.
Replacement and late ballots. Notice
the member, we did not have any address for them or something like that, they called and asked. I should come up with a unique term for each of these to clarify that. I'm being kind of sloppy in my words here. I'm sorry. Late ballots and replacement ballots, I'm putting in the same category because logistically it's often hard to know the difference. In other words, a replacement ballot is, we call it a replacement ballot because we know we mailed an original ballot, but that member may never have received it. So they may not have had a reasonable amount of time to return their ballot because they simply never had a ballot. Or we mailed it to an old address and they called and say, this is my new address. So, yes, a late mailed ballot to somebody we did not know was an eligible member. They were not on the list at all, but when they called, we checked with station. Station said, oh, yes, we found records. We now know that this person was eligible, should have been on the voter list. Those people will be in the same category. We will count their ballot if we mailed it to them after, I mean, if we mailed it to them after November 27th.
I just want to make sure what happens with people who were mailed their ballots to begin with and just got them, you know, the original ballot, you haven't heard from them saying I lost my ballot, you know, I didn't get my ballot or anything else. They're just people who just didn't get their ballots mailed back in a timely fashion. There was a question about whether you were going to include those, and I want to make sure.
My decision is that I cannot count them. I tried to see if there was, if I was the only person with that view in Pacifica, I would be willing to reconsider it. But I'm not the only one with that view. There are several people who have contacted me saying they don't think that I have the authority to count ballots that were mailed, received by members on time, and simply mailed them in late, that I can't just say I want to count them just because they're in the P.O. box. So I'm not going to.
Okay, thank you.
And can you add Lydia to the stack?
Sure, yeah, after Tracy.
Hey, Terry.
So
here's the questions that I have for you regarding the timely mailing of ballots. Correct me if I'm wrong, but because we're using nonprofit re-delivery.
We're using first class.
No, I know, I'm sorry. That's not what I mean. Because we're paying for the ballots to be returned to us, the ballots are not per se postmarked. The return envelopes. Therefore, we don't really have a clear indication of what date a voter put something in the mail back to us, as you would with a postmarked envelope. You could see, for example, if something was mailed on November 20th and just took an awfully long time to come in. We've been having a lot of reports, and they may not all necessarily be true. I'm not saying one way or the other. But I have family on the East Coast, and I've experienced this in the past months, of envelopes taking an inordinately long period of time to cross the country. So I'm concerned with the absoluteness with which we're declaring that people put envelopes in the mail in a non-timely fashion. It seems to me very possible that people could have put ballots in the mail in a timely fashion and been victimized by the mail. I mean, for example, there are priority mail packages that took over 10 days, and priority mail is supposed to take 3 days. And this may have to do with the weather, and this may have to do with the slow deterioration of the post office that we've seen. But I guess my concern with the distinction that you're making is that it's really not factoring in when the voter might have mailed the ballot. So my question for you is, without a postmark, how are you clearly ascertaining that said ballot was mailed? Perhaps it was mailed on time, and it simply took an awfully long time to get there. So I wonder whether it might not be fairer to all parties concerned to count the ballots that you received by the 18th. That's a set close date for the election, and it seems to me that the distinction that you're making is a somewhat unclear one. Without a postmark, there's really no way to ascertain when the ballot was mailed back to the foundation.
Right.
And in a sense, penalizing people for the failures of the post office might be a little bit beyond the parameters of what in of what we're supposed to do.
Right. When people mailed it from, let's say, California, is not the consideration. It's when the ballot was mailed to them by ESC. Postmarks cannot be controlling under the bylaws, and postmarks are, if they existed on these ballots, which on business reply envelopes, as you say, they don't necessarily. Sometimes there are records of that, but anyway, postmarks aren't controlling in any event. And so if they were mailed a ballot before November 27th, I have deemed that that means they had reasonable time. And reasonable people can disagree about whether that was reasonable, but I didn't want to extend it way back into, you know, mid-November. I don't have anything else to say. I agree that it would be a reasonable thing to do. It would be maybe common sense thing, or et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think the bylaws give me permission to accept ballots that were mailed, possibly received by people in early November and simply arrived at the P.O. box too late. The bylaws specifically say received by, and the only exception I'm making is when they were not given reasonable time to get it back. And the slowness of the mail is part of that definition. In other words, it assumes that it took a week or more each way. And to assume it takes 2 weeks each way is not necessary to be reasonable.
Well, except that the Postal Service has been missing that mark on a fairly regular basis. So your definition of reasonable may not be reasonable under the circumstances.
Reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah, well, I think they are.
Okay, Lydia is next.
Yes, so just to clarify, for KPFK, since we had not made quorum according to the last figures, was my understanding of what you said that you will continue to accept ballots until we reach the quorum without, of course, announcing a new deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to some, you know, people really feel like that's a dangerous precedent or there's some logical reason that I haven't thought of why I shouldn't do it that way. The bylaws seem to give me the authority. The bylaws say extension for up to 4 weeks until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
Right, I have no objections to it.
That is my current plan. So if we have enough on Tuesday, we count them. If we don't on Tuesday, I see what we have on Wednesday.
Oh, terrific. Okay, so then the other question is, assuming we haven't made quorum or whatever, can you accept ballots sent by FedEx to the street address of ESC? If we haven't made quorum, of course.
Street address, no. I talked with them specifically about it.
Okay.
We can use the P.O. box.
Yeah, okay.
But I should say one last thing is... there are some stations, in fact, maybe all the stations, are doing some version of a last-minute ballot drop-off. And when the local election supervisor or their designee, like at KPFK, I know Seoul went to a funeral today, and so I think he's deputized somebody to receive. Anyway, once they're received by the local election supervisor or their appointed deputy, they will be deemed received. And then they'll be express mailed back, but they will count.
But since we didn't hear about that, I didn't hear about that, and I'm on both boards. Is there any way that if we talk to Seoul, if you can have another one for tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, I think.
Senate Express.
This is Michael Novick. To the fact there was an announcement on air, and I did send out an email.
And it's Monday. It's happening, right?
It's Monday. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, and we're at time, so I guess we want to extend.
Right. We still have several of the points Terry covered that we haven't entertained questions. So how about if we say 20 minutes? Any objection to a 20-minute extension? Okay, hearing none, 20 more minutes. So who would like to speak next?
This is Jane. I just want to let you know I'm here.
Oh, hi, Jane. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm here.
All right. Well, okay, so last call for questions about the public observation of the vote process or the staff PDF ballots. If not, then we'll go on to the voters.
Terry, Anthony here.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And I have a question. So if the KPFA deadline is the 18th, then this PDF ballot process, how would,
if we have a close date of the 18th for example, KPFT, they've met quorum, we're going to close the election, it is no extension, but if there were people who were mailed a ballot after December 4th, we will include that to give them reasonable time to return it up until, my current thinking is December 26th.
Mm-hmm. Now, at KPFA, we had some staff who didn't get ballots because their mailing addresses were incorrect. So is that
too late? I mean, yeah, we're not sending out any ballots to KPFA, no.
No, not I don't mean paper ballots. I mean the PDF.
Right. If they requested a ballot before the close date and it arrives before the 18th, we'll count it. If they requested, nobody's requested a ballot after the close date, we won't accept the idea of people requesting a ballot after the end of the election.
Hmm. So, okay, so they'd have to vote in one day or something.
Okay, Anthony, are you done?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right, I want to call on myself on this question of voters who have not received ballots and, you know, when the cutoff is, because I heard Terry say that he's not accepting any more requests for late ballots, I guess with the exception of staff that are requesting PDFs. Is that correct?
What it is stations which have reached quorum, we're not accepting any replacement ballot requests or late ballot requests. At KPFK and WBAI, which are not at quorum, we're going to do the ballot check tomorrow. If they're still way far away, we might continue to process requests. So requests might come in because we're not telling people to stop requesting them. But if we're right about at quorum or we're at quorum when we check the P.O. box envelope count on Monday, we're definitely not going to take any more. We're not going to process any more requests for late ballots. Basically, once it came in over the weekend, we're going to complete the processing of those. But to do beyond that, it would have to be because we're doing a substantial extension of the election.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.